I want to talk to you this morning for a couple minutes about two trees. One of them's in the Old Testament, one of them's in the New Testament. Probably the most famous tree in each part of the Bible. The Old Testament tree is the tree that Adam read with us about a moment ago that we read there in verse 17, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Probably the most important tree mentioned in the Old Testament. Now, the most important tree in the New Testament is not the tree that little Zacchaeus climbed up to see Jesus, but the tree of Calvary, the cross. In Acts chapter 5, verse 30, the Bible says, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree." In 1 Peter 2:24, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree." We read from the book of Genesis this morning. Genesis is a book that's full of pictures. It pictures what's going to happen in the rest of the Bible. It pictures what's going to happen in the rest of history. It pictures what's going to happen as God reveals his plan of salvation to mankind. And it does that two ways. It does that sometimes by way of contrast, what's different. And then it does that in some ways by what's comparable, what's the same. And so I'm going to compare those two trees this morning to try to present the gospel to you. And I'm going to use both. I'm going to tell you some differences about those two trees, and then I'm going to tell you some things that where the two trees are similar. Buckle up, because I have 10 points this morning. If you have a roast in the oven, you are in trouble. No, I'm just kidding. We'll be done real close to our normal time. But I want you to listen quick. Six contrasts. The first tree, and when I say the first tree, I'm going to refer to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The first tree was planted by God. "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." So that tree that we read about in the book of Genesis was not planted by Adam. It was not planted by the creature. It was planted by the Creator. It was planted by God. But the tree in the New Testament, the tree upon which Jesus was crucified, was not planted by God. It was planted by man. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 27, verse 35, "And they crucified him." Most people think that the pole of the cross was already in the ground, and that they nailed Jesus to the cross member of the cross, and then lifted that cross member up and nailed it to the pole that was already in the ground. Some people think that the whole cross was laying on the ground, and they nailed Jesus to the cross member and his feet to the pole, and then leaned up the pole and let it fall into the ground. I don't know which one is right. I don't know which one happened in the case of Jesus, but I do know this. God did not plant that tree. It was planted by Roman soldiers as they executed the Son of God, as they put him to death for us. So the first tree was planted by the Creator. The second tree was planted by the creature. Number two, by way of contrast, the first tree was pleasant to the eyes. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat." I don't know what it was that made it pleasant to the eyes. I don't know if it was the color of the fruit. Most people, when they think of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they think of an apple tree. The Bible doesn't say it's an apple tree, but it was a tree, and it had fruit on it. And what made it pleasant to the eye? Was it the shape of the fruit? Was it the color of the fruit? Was it how luscious it looked? I don't know what it was. But the Bible says it was something of beauty and delight, something pleasing to look upon. The second tree was hideous to look at. The gospel records that men hid their faces. They could not stand to look at it. The Savior that hung on that cross had been beaten so severely, the Bible says, you could hardly recognize him as a human being. The crowd had cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" The high priest had the hypocrites that they were, because they were jealous and envious of Jesus' popularity, led the crowd as they taunted him. "Hey, if you're the Son of God, save yourself. If you're the Son of God, as you say you are, come down from the cross." Even the two thieves at the beginning joined into the taunt and said, "Hey, if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross, save yourself and save us." But if you were there at the cross, it would be hard to look upon that one who had been beaten so badly he couldn't be recognized as a human being, that one that was bleeding from various parts of his body, that one that was gasping for every breath as he had to lift himself up so his lungs would expand to take in oxygen. There was nothing pleasant about that sight. There was nothing pleasing about that sight. There was nothing appealing. And so the first tree was a tree that was desired. The second tree, the Bible says, they saw in him no beauty that they should desire him. Number three, God forbade man to eat of the first tree. "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it." It was a divine prohibition. It was a prohibition with punishment attached to it. God said, if you eat of this tree, you're going to die. If you eat the fruit of this tree, if you partake of the fruit of this day, this tree, you shall surely die. And so God himself told mankind, don't eat from that tree. But the second tree, God invites all mankind to come and eat from that tree. There's no prohibition. There's no restriction. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. He wants us to come to that second tree. He wants us to partake of what that tree provides. Amen. Number four, by way of contrast, because God forbade man to eat of the first tree, Satan used everything he could to get man to do it. Satan came to Eve in the form of a serpent, and he said, "Hey, didn't God tell you could eat from every tree?" And the woman said, "Oh, yeah, we can eat from every tree except for that one. But God says, in the day we eat of it, we'll die." And Satan said, "Oh, God didn't really mean that. God didn't really mean that you die. He knows that if you eat of that tree, you'll be as smart as he is. You'll be as wise as he is. You'll be like gods." And Satan lied. He's the father of all lies. He's the father of liars. He lied to Eve. He tried to do everything he could to get mankind by way of Eve to eat that fruit. And you know, she fell. She fell for that temptation. In contrast to the second tree, because God invites man to eat of the second tree, Satan uses everything he can to get man not to eat of it. The way of the cross leads home. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. Without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And Satan comes and he tells the same kind of lies today. God is too loving to send anybody to hell. He'll eventually forgive everybody. Eventually everybody will go to heaven. There's no place as hell. God's not that kind of God. He loves. He's a God of love. And Satan lies. God is a God of love. But he also is a God of justice. And the wages of sin is death. And if you leave this world, as Marianne sang about a moment ago, if you leave this world, if you step into that water without Jesus Christ, you're not going to that place called heaven. You're going to that place called hell. That's where Satan wants you. And he'll tell every lie in the book to keep you away from that second tree. Number five, by way of contrast, eating the first tree brought sin and death. When Adam and Eve took that fruit and ate that fruit, sin and death. God had said, "For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And when Eve took that fruit and ate it and gave it to Adam and he ate it, sin and death entered into the world. Paul wrote about it in Romans chapter 5. "Wherefore is by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So eating that first tree brought sin and death. But eating the second tree, eating from the second tree brings life and salvation. Jesus said in John chapter 6, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life." When Jesus said that, some of his disciples thought he was talking about eating his body and drinking his blood, and they went away from him because they didn't understand. But what Jesus was talking about was not cannibalism, wasn't talking about eating his physical body or drinking his physical blood, but it was putting your trust in what he did on Calvary, as pictured in the Lord's Supper this morning. His body was broken, his blood was shed, and you don't have life until you come and partake of his flesh and his blood, until you put your faith in the one that died on that second tree. When man ate the first tree, they lost their relationship with God. They were kicked out of the garden. But when you eat of the second tree, you get your relationship with God back. Amen. And then number six, by way of contrast, the thieves that ate from the first tree were turned out of paradise. The thief that ate from the second tree was welcomed into paradise. You see, there was two thieves connected with both trees. The two thieves that were connected to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil were Adam and Eve. They took what did not belong to them. They took what was God's. God says, "This is my tree. Don't eat of it." I believe in the Garden of Eden, he was teaching them tithing. I don't know this for sure, but I sort of think there were 10 trees that started them all. And I think God was saying, "Hey, the other 9, you can eat all you want, but this one's mine. Leave it alone. You're going to die if you eat up." And those two thieves took the fruit of that tree, and they were kicked out of the garden. They were kicked out of paradise as it existed on earth in the Garden of Eden. But that thief, the two thieves that hung on either side of Jesus on the cross, one of them, remember, talked about it last week. One of them turned to Jesus and said, "Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me." And Jesus looked back at him and said, "Today, today, today, you will be with me in paradise." When you eat of the first tree, you lose paradise. But when you eat of the second tree, you get to go to that place that Marianne sang about a moment ago. You get to go to heaven. Now, quickly, Four similarities. Both of those trees were in gardens. The Garden of Eden contained the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The second tree was in an unnamed garden. John chapter 19, verse 41. "Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden." Usually when you think of a garden, you think about stuff that's growing. Usually when you think of a garden, you think about life. But in these two gardens, the first Adam died in the Garden of Eden. The second Adam died in this unnamed garden where Jesus was crucified. Number two, by way of similarities, both trees were in the midst. The tree of life also in the midst of garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the middle of that garden, those two trees grew. Then the Bible says they crucified him and two others with him on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. You see, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, even though it's in the very second chapter of the Bible, in the very first book, that tree of the knowledge of good and evil is the central point of the Old Testament. Because that's where sin came into the world. That's where sin came into the world, when mankind disobeyed God and ate of that fruit. And the rest of the New Testament, the rest of Genesis, all the way through the book of Malachi, is God painting pictures of how he's going to redeem mankind. It's the central part, sin, in the Old Testament. It's where that's where it all started. That's where it all began. And the rest of the New Testament is God telling us as mankind, "I'm going to redeem you. I can't exactly tell you how yet, but I'm going to give you pictures. I'm going to give you symbols. I'm going to tell you what it looks like." And then, of course, The cross. The cross is the center of the New Testament. It's what everything, in fact, it's the center of the Bible. Because in the cross, we see how God fixed our sin problem. Number three, both trees. Again, talking about the similarities. Both trees are trees of knowledge of good and evil. When Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, their eyes was open. They knew that they were naked. And when one comes to the second tree, our eyes are open. Because when we look at the second tree, we know how wicked sin is. Amen. We know the great price that had to be paid for our sin. We understand the holiness of God as he laid on Jesus all of our sin, had to turn his back on his only son. We understand as we look at that second tree that perfection was offered for imperfection, that sinless was often offered for sinners, that deity was offered for humanity. And so when we come to that second tree, it's a tree of knowledge of good. We get to see how good God is, and we get to see how evil sin is and the terrible price that was paid. And then number four, both are really pleasant to the sight. Yeah, if we could go back in time and we could stand at the foot of the cross, it would be a horrendous sight. But when we realize that's the only way that we could get our sins forgiven. When we realize that's the only way that God could justify us in his sight and forgive us and make us right with him, it becomes a place of unparalleled beauty as we see the Son of God dying in our place. Now, every single one of us have eaten at the first tree. We're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death is passed upon all men, for that all men have sinned. In Adam we all ate in the first tree. We got our sin nature. That sin nature turned into sin, and we're all sinners. We've all eaten at the first tree. Here's the question. Have you eaten at the second tree? Have you come to the cross? Have you received what Jesus did for you there? His death, his burial, his resurrection. That's the gospel. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's the gospel. The death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Have you come to the second tree? Amen. Have you taken the fruit of that tree, the forgiveness that God wants to give us, and have you taken it for yourself? The psalmist says, taste and see the Lord is good. Amen. And what a good God that we have. He offers salvation to every single person. Have you eaten? Have you eaten from the second tree? If you haven't, come this morning. Come this morning. No preconditions. You can come just like you are. Come to that second tree and take the fruit that God provided there. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the pictures that you paint in the book of Genesis. Thank you for these two trees and what they tell us about what you did to save us, to make us right with you. And I pray if there's just even one here this morning that's never come to Calvary's cross, never come to the Savior and received what he did for them, the price that he paid for them on Calvary, they've never done that. I pray, Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, that right now, in this moment, you would convict them of their sin. You would show them a picture of Jesus and the price that he paid for their sin. You would show him the forgiveness and life that he offers because of Calvary. And I pray you'd help them to come. We'll take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. We've come to that tree. We've eaten of the fruit. And oh, what a joy it is to know that we belong to you. What a joy it is to know that one of these days we'll cross that river and we'll come to that place that you've been preparing for us. We'll come home. We'll come home. Father, help us to rest in that hope. Help us to live in that hope. Help us to be vigilant in that hope and help us to share the hope that we have for heaven with others. That hope is Jesus Christ. Help us to share him. For it's in his precious name we pray. Amen.